translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. O great Supreme Lord, offensive persons whose internal vision has been deemed too affected by external materialistic activities cannot see your lotus feet, but they are seen by your pure devotees, though whose one and only aim is to transcendentally enjoy your activities. The purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 1861, the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. It is natural that one should be able to see the Lord at least within himself. But that is not possible for those whose internal vision has been covered by external activities. The pure soul, which is symptomized by consciousness, can be easily perceived even by a common man because consciousness is spread all over the body. The yoga system, as recommended in Bhagavad Gita, is to concentrate the mental activities internally and thus see the lotus feet of the Lord within oneself. But there are many so-called yogis who have no concern with the Lord but are only concerned with consciousness, which they accept as the final realization. Such realization of consciousness is taught by Bhagavad Gita within only a few minutes, whereas the so-called yogis take continuous years to realize it because of their offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord. The greatest offense is to deny the existence of the Lord as separate from the individual souls, or to accept the Lord and the individual soul as one and the same. The impersonalists interpret the theory of reflection, and thus they wrongly accept the individual consciousness as the supreme consciousness. The theory of the reflection of the supreme can be clearly understood without difficulty by any sincere common man. When there is a reflection of the sky on the water, both the sky and the stars are seen within the water. But it is understood that the sky and the stars are not to be accepted on the same level. The stars are parts of the sky, and therefore they cannot be equal to the whole. The sky is the whole, and the stars are parts. They cannot be one and the same. Transcendentalists who do not accept the supreme consciousness as separate from the individual consciousness are as offensive as the materialists who deny even the existence of the Lord. Such offenders cannot actually see the lotus feet of the Lord within themselves, nor are they even able to see the devotees of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord are so kind that they roam to all places to enlighten people in God consciousness. The offenders, however, lose the chance to receive the Lord's devotees. Although the offenseless common man is at once influenced by the devotee's presence, in this connection there is an interesting story of a hunter and Devarishi Narada. The hunter in the forest, although a great sinner, was not an intentional offender. He was at once influenced by the presence of Narada, and he agreed to take the path of devotion, leaving aside his hearth and home. But the offenders, Nalakubera and Manigriva, even though living amongst the demigods, had to undergo the punishment of becoming trees in their next lives, although by the grace of a devotee they were later delivered by the Lord. Offenders have to wait until they receive the mercy of devotees. And then they can become eligible to see the lotus feet of the Lord within themselves. But due to their offenses and their extreme materialism, they cannot see even the devotees of the Lord. Engaged in external activities, they kill the internal vision. The Lord's devotees, however, do not mind the offenses of the foolish in their many gross and subtle bodily endeavors. The Lord's devotees continue to bestow the blessings of devotion upon all such offenders without hesitation. That is the nature of devotees. Translation once again. If you could kindly repeat, Prabhu's, O great Supreme Lord, offensive persons whose internal vision has been too affected by external materialistic activities cannot see your lotus feet. But they are seen by your pure devotees, whose one and only aim is to transcendentally enjoy your activities. Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Charu Swami Nitinamine Shringatashaita Hasrupanakta Bhaktinam Cha Rasputam Prabhupada Gata Prana Naimi Bhakti Charu Padam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacute Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bancha Kalpa Drubascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaiva Chapatitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dear devotees, seeking the blessings and mercy of all the assembled and unassembled Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, so that I can say something meaningful this morning. This chapter is entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. Intriguing, and the purports are nice and long. Intriguing purports and very sweet and personal conversations. So here in the fifth chapter, Vidura meets Maitreya Muni in Haridwar and asks him about the knowledge he's received. Maitreya Muni received knowledge from the Lord. Maitreya explains the Lord's creation of the demigods and the basic ingredients of the universe. Now, yesterday we had a wonderful class, brilliantly composed, you know, by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, and I felt like I was at school. Well, probably now, you know, the screen and the blackboard on the screen, the chalk, handwriting of the chalk. It was wonderful, but all electronic. But it's such a great class. And then prior to that, we had Vishwambar Prabhu. And then a few days back, so I was listening to these classes in bed, which is what I generally do at night. So the third canto, as we know, has been in two parts. Third canto is in two parts and consists of 33 chapters. The first part has three sections. The first section, in essence, is entitled Krishna Leela. And I like that title, Krishna Leela. You know, I dwell upon it. From chapters 1 to 4, this is the theme, describing that after renouncing Dhritarashtra's palace, Vidura meets Uddhava. Now I was contemplating on the description of when Vidura is leaving. And if you could imagine that, you know, if you could imagine Duryodhan, the offense he commits to his uncle. I mean, I had five uncles. And, you know, you wouldn't say anything to them. What to speak of, you know, the father. And Duryodhan had the audacity to pierce the heart of Vidura. But Vidura didn't accept that as offensive as such. This is simply, you know, my nephew is Kali personified anyway. You know, what can be expected? Let us renounce and leave. And he was actually joyous. This is the opportunity to now, you know, go on jatra, go on pilgrimage. And he wasn't affected because he even came back to deliver Dhritarashtra. And this is the nature of a devotee. I was contemplating in recent days, reading Indrajumna Maharaj's book. And, you know, Indrajumna Maharaj is an incredible personality. And so are our many, many gurus whom we have. We are so fortunate to have exceptional spiritual masters. Exceptional. Indrajumna Maharaj, I must share this little story, time permitting. Indrajumna Maharaj attended the last Kumbh Mela, the Maha Kumbh Mela. And he had the opportunity to go alone to do the bathing. Anyone been to Kumbh Mela? Wow, yes, of course. Yes, of course. We went there, I believe it was, must have been 2001 or 2003, I can't remember. 1988 was the Kumbh Mela, and then 12, 13 years later was another Mahakumbha, and we went there and we experienced it, and my Lord, what an experience. So Indrajumna Maharaj is in this van with the other sadhus. You know, we call this kind of van a metadol. It's a green vehicle, and everyone's on the floor of the van. The driver, it's all been organized by Pundarik Goswami Prabhu, the head of the Radharaman temple. And off they go. They leave very early, like 4 o'clock in the morning for the bathing. It's only 10 kilometers away, but it takes 2 hours because it's just surrounded by, you know, pilgrims, millions upon millions of pilgrims. That particular year, I kid you not, the government, Indian government, spent over $400 million. That's staggering, $400 million. And over 262 million people attended. 262 million, I mean, that's staggering. Anyway, there is Maharaj taking this colossal risk. He's with the other sadhus. He gets there, does the bathing. His disciples and other devotees are in another vehicle. After the bathing, he gets lost. The devotees and that metadol vehicle is only literally, you know, 20 meters away. But those 20 meters, he got completely lost. And all he had, and it's freezing cold, incidentally. It's absolutely freezing cold. I've experienced it in a younger body. Maharaj is in his mid-60s at this time, coming up to late 60s. And you know, you could feel what he's going through. All he had on was a gumsha. A gumsha at the top and a gumsha at the bottom. That's it. And Prabhu's, Mataji's, I kid you not, he's lost for almost a day. Almost a day. A time comes when the children think he's a Nagababa and start chucking stones at him. Now this is our spiritual master who has hundreds if not thousands of disciples. The disciples at the back at the ISKCON camp, it's literally only 10 kilometers away. They are so frantic. Where is Guru Maharaj gone? They're so, you know, they're so worried. Eventually, you know, Maharaj somehow. Now he's carrying the only thing he has, incidentally, not a rupee on him, but the only thing he has is his mobile, wrapped around in a plastic bag because, you know, he'd gone in for the bathing. All he's got is his mobile. And he switches his mobile on, first thing he does, naturally, this is what we would all do. It's our only solace. And even though the battery was fully charged when he left early in the morning, it's only 5%. And there's no flipping signal. He's stranded. Periodically, you know, after some 20 plus hours, I mean, I could spend the entire, you know, 15 minutes that I have going through that whole incident. I mean, it's incredibly, incredibly moving. Eventually, you know, he manages to get a signal and he calls one of his disciples, Narottam Prabhu, who turns up with a taxi. And of course, the taxi, the taxi turns up halfway to our ISKCON camp, Sector 7, I believe it was, that particular year. The taxi breaks down and he's stranded once again. Eventually, after such turmoil, he gets to the ISKCON camp. So again, you know, he's experiencing an incredible journey, which, you know, someone like me would have just collapsed. Because I know, you know, if you get lost in Kumbh Mela, you've had it. It's like that. And when you're a spiritual master of an international institution, you have hundreds upon hundreds and thousands of disciples, and there are children there who are chucking stones at you. I mean, and he's not even moved. For him, it's an incredible experience. So here, you know, Vidura, prior to leaving, he's experiencing this. And for a devotee, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada's mentioning towards the end, for a devotee is so magnanimous, so merciful. Vidura didn't have to come back. Didn't have to, you know, liberate Dhritarashtra. Didn't have to do any of that. But he did so. Why? Because of the acute level of compassion. So here we see that when Vidura meets the great powerful Uddhava, who recalls for him Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Dwarka, and Krishna's departure from the world, which is quite sad. In the scripture called Krishna Vijoy, compiled by Gunjaraj Khan in 1473, Gauranga Mahaprabhu receives this writing entitled Krishna Vijoy, compiled in simple Bengali language, and Mahaprabhu is very, very moved by it. And in that, we have it translated. I've got a copy of it at home. I'm quite attached to it, so don't ask for it. And he goes through, you know, the departure of the Lord. So this is what's been explained here as well. And after praying for the creative power, as it were, Lord Brahma entered the lotus and created the 14 divisions of the planetary system. So all this has been described in pretty much detail in the third section entitled Varaha Rupa, because, you know, the first part has three sections. And from chapters 13 to 19, Maitreya Muni describes how Lord Brahma was stumped in his creation. He was stumped because the earth had fallen at that time and to the nether regions. Lord Varaha rescues, as we know, he rescues the earth and killed Hiranyaksha. Again, here is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Jai, Sitarama Lakshmi Hanuman ki Jai, Gonitai Bhagwan ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki Jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. And here, you know, Lord Varaha, he has to experience all these offensive abuse, verbal abuse by Hiranyaksha. So again, you know, there's there's that link, as it were. And in the second part of the third canto, there are the two sections from the chapters 20 to 24. And it's all about Kodama and Devahuti. I really like that bit. It's quite intriguing for me, those sections. And after creating the demigods and sages and the first of the Manus, Lord Brahma orders Kodama to help expand the population, be a Prajapati. Kodama asks the Lord for, naturally, for a Dharampatni, then marries Devahuti and creates a celestial mansion for her. He fathers Kapila, Muni, wonderful, and the nine daughters, who marry great, powerful sages and help create the living entities. So, and finally, the chapters between 25 to 33, it's all about Lord Kapila and Devahuti. What an amazing part of the Bhagavatam that is. Now, this, in essence, is the third canto in a nutshell. And Srila Prabhupada begins the purport here, this purport of ours, by referencing the Bhagavad Gita, very famous Bhagavad Gita verse 1861. You know, the 1860s verses are very famous, aren't they? This one is the Ishvara Sarvabhutanam. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of the living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. This is the translation of that verse. And in the Bhagavatam, the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the description is given of the detail of the Paramatma. The heart is generally the size of your fist. So my heart is generally about this size. And it's mentioned that a person who has a body of my age, roughly, I'm not going to say how old my body is. I still think it's a relatively young body. But the Paramatma is 8 inches in height, situated within the region of the heart. Here, you know, that little description is given. Maitreya Rishi is indeed a disciple of Parasara Muni, and indeed Parasara Muni being the father of Vyasadev. And here he describes the evolution of various universal elements. And Maitreya then explain the occupational divisions, the varanas, all of that business. There's a heck of a lot of information here in this part of the Bhagavatam. I mean, we could spend, you know, days upon days just to go through this little section of it. Maitreya confirmed that the activities of creation are conducted by the diverse energies of the Lord, who remains completely aloof and untouched. And the conversation, this beautiful conversation, then continues further. And so, you know, this in essence, Prabhu's and Mataji's is what the this section of the Bhagavatam is all about. We do indeed. My God, it's already 8:20. You know, it's the time is just ticks along. We do have a very, very busy weekend upon us. And for me, it begins, incidentally, if those of you might just not know, Lord Jagannath is here with us. And that's why we need to glorify him. He is not well, incidentally. My intention, if it was up to me, I'd keep him here. And, you know, I'll pull apart the theater room, Dwarkapuri Prabhu's theater room. He's the proprietor. Take out all the blinking seats and have an altar there and have Lord Jagannath there. What say you all? But, dear Prabhus, it is not up to us. The Lord has to go back into the horrible city where he belongs. There was a time when he was situated on that altar just before Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman appeared. He was there. So maybe we should make a trade. No, we don't really want to lose Lord Ramchandra, do we? No. Let's just keep Jagannath here anyway. Let's kidnap him. What you should do, Ananta Prabhu, is lock the door and then we'll secretly move him into the theater. Not tell anyone. Don't tell Dwarkapuri at all. And build a beautiful temple room there. Anyway, wishful thinking, Prabhus. Today, just going through the weekend, today at noon we have the funeral ceremony of an incredible devotee who's just passed away. His name is Yaduraj Prabhu. Yaduraj Prabhu, some devotees may know him. An incredible, formidable book distributor in the early 80s. Formidable. And what a personality. He was one of the chief actors of Bhaktivedanta Players. There was a time Bhaktivedanta Players had Maharathis as actors. We need more actors. Of course, Paravida Prabhu gave me lessons in acting. I did once upon a time play Narad Muni in Narad Muni and the Cobbler. I did other type of acting as well under the direction of Shrutidharma Prabhu. Shrutidharma Prabhu, incredible actor. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, all these personalities acted together. Yaduraj Prabhu, larger than life, tall, handsome, you know, like a demigod beyond. And we are fortunate enough to conduct his final rites today at Garston Crematorium at 12:30. So thus begins the weekend. Tomorrow we also have the open day. We have an open day. How many of you wonderful personalities are engaged in the open day? Ananta Prabhu, so some hands going up. Please be here, but don't invite any devotees that you know, because it's not meant for them. It's meant for the outreach program and meant for all the villages that we have surrounding from Lechmore here to Patches Green. And we've advertised it, the Watford Observer. So we don't want anyone else. Is that understood? So don't go around putting it on your WhatsApp groups and all sorts of devotees turn up. We don't want them. We want to make devotees, not have devotees here. Thank you. And of course, tomorrow is the Tirobhav of my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj. But I'm here. I'm going to be in the boathouse. I'm going to have to fast a bit. That's Saturday. Sunday, of course, is Rath Yatra. And we are cooking here for the feast. Pranabandhu Prabhu, headed by Pranabandhu Prabhu. So don't go in the kitchen, because he'll have a whole army in there. He's going to make a massive, humongous feast. We want paneer everywhere, in the subjis and everywhere. But you know, these days we have to be careful. We have to be vegan. In the main prep has to be vegan. Anyway, hopefully we won't disappoint the devotees too much. So such is the weekend. But I wanted to mention, because of Rath Yatra, I wanted to quickly mention a little bit about the history, because I've just finished Chasing the Rhinos, the third volume. Has anyone read this? The third volume. Oh, Prabhu, you have to read the third volume. I think that's the best one, because mostly it's about the manor. That's why it's the best one. So I loved it. I mean, I've gone through bits of the first. You know, I'm doing things wrong way around. I picked up the third one first because of being told it's all about the manor. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada, he comes to the UK to specifically really meet George, Sriman George Harrison. And Srila Prabhupada arrives in 1972 on the 6th of July. And on the 16th of July, we've organized the very, very famous Rath Yatra on Sunday, the 16th of July. On the Saturday, the 15th of July, Srila Prabhupada spends literally the entire day with Sriman George Harrison Prabhu at his estate. And It is on that day. Remember it very well. It is on that day that Sriman George Harrison Prabhu makes a promise to our founder Acharya, I want to buy you an ashram here in London. The 15th of July, 1972. And Srila Prabhupada is so exceptionally happy. Thereafter, he treats George like a son. He pats him on his head and he pats him, you know, it's literally like his son. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada leaves and this, you know, he travels everywhere. The devotees, Dhananjaya Prabhu, Shamsundar Prabhu, others are frantically looking for a property. And eventually, they come upon Pigott's Manor. The vendor is a Mrs. Rugels. R-U-G-G-L-E-S, Mrs. Rugels, a wonderful lady. Of course, that in those days, vendors would take everything before they complete the property completion. You know, the doorknobs were taken, the curtains and the flooring, the carpets were kind of removed. There was a boiler in the cellar. I remember it very well. We kind of removed it in 1994, a cast iron boiler, a wonderful beast of a machine. And it used to be operated with coal. You have to shovel the coal in there. And that coal was also taken. So you can imagine in the 70s how frugal people were. But in January of 73, the second week of January 73, negotiations began. When the estate agent, I won't name names, when the estate agent realized that it is Sriman George Harrison who was interested in the property, the price went up. George Harrison, he wasn't going to be paying much more than expected. Eventually, the negotiated price was £220,000, a lot of money in those days. £220,000, not a small amount of Lakshmi. And on the 1st of May, 1973, who of you personalities were on the planet at that time? I'll have to put my hand up. On the 1st of May, of course, Prayojan Prabhu, on the 1st of May, 1973, the devotees enter the manor. Hari Hari Bol. And 22 days later, Srila Prabhupada appears here. Srila Prabhupada wanted to immediately come. He was so very, very excited. Shamsundar Prabhu, being such an incredible visionary, hired a helicopter from Heathrow Airport to here. And the price of that helicopter was £400. It's a heck of a lot of Lakshmi. But for the founder Acharya, for the proprietor, for the owner of the manor, it's very most befitting. Srila Prabhupada, on the 23rd of May, 1973, lands at the front lawn for the first time. Where's the front lawn? Front lawn. For the first time, and the chopper comes down. Can you imagine that scene? Incredible. And when Srila Prabhupada enters, the description given, he is exceptionally elated. He's so very, very happy. We now have a big temple, a big estate. 17 acres was a heck of a lot of land. You know, literally in London, not far from London. Wembley is only 11.2 miles away. Harrow Weald is 6.2 miles away. Not far, London. Yes, within the outskirts. And of course, this is really meant for the cows. New Gokul was what the name of the place was. Srila Prabhupada called it New Gokul. And of course, subsequently, it became his manor, Bhaktivedanta Swami Manor. But Srila Prabhupada, shortly after, you know, he immediately meets George, and that exchange is truly remarkable. George is his young son. Truly remarkable. Prabhupada then he says, well, so when's Rath Yatra this year? And Shamsun, the devotee, says, oh, we haven't booked it yet, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says, okay, 6th of July, we have to have Rath Yatra. Oh, but Prabhupada, that's like in less than 2 months away. Can we organize this? We don't even have the Lakshmi. This place is taking quite a lot of our efforts and endeavors. You know, we're just about paying the bills. How are we going to pay for the Rath Yatra? Prabhupada said, don't worry, 6th of July, we have to have Rath Yatra. 1973, one of the best. Prabhupada, 72 and 73, incredible Rath Yatras, truly incredible. 72, the three Raths were there. You know, incredible. 73, how are we going to pay for the Rath Yatra? Lord Jagannath, you know, I think he can make a lot more money for us. We have to get the appeal right, you know, because it can be very lucrative. Anyway, just very quickly, a young brahmachari at that time, Mahavishnu, later on Mahavishnu Maharaj, he receives inheritance. And his inheritance by his uncle was 10,000 pounds sterling. And he just withdraws the cash from the bank, puts it in his book bag, and starts paying for everything for Rath Yatra. And that's how he'd sacrifice that. I mean, Mahavishnu Maharaj, you know, another one of our incredible spiritual masters, sacrificing everything. I mean, to that level of renunciation, 10,000 pounds is no small amount of money. Right now, it's probably in your pocket. But back in 51 years ago, it's, you know, you could buy property in central London with that kind of money. But he used that inheritance. So Prabhu's, we're 51 years later, 5.1 decades later, Rath Yatra still continues. And I just hope Lord Indra doesn't shower his blinking rain upon us, because right now there's kind of rain. Today is an exceptionally hot day. Tomorrow, I'm not quite sure, but I was looking at Sunday. Sunday's not really good, but it could turn. If Prayojan Prabhu prays, it could turn. Of course, too much heat is also quite austere. We don't want it. And today is like 30 plus degrees, so we don't really want that. We want some coolness, and I'm sure the Lord will do his best. But I have a lot to say, Prabhus, but in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned the nature of the devotees, that the Lord's devotees do not mind the offenses of the foolish in their many gross and subtle bodily endeavors. This is what Prabhupada is mentioning in the end of the purport. The Lord's devotees continue to bestow the blessings of devotion upon all such offenders without hesitation. And so we see that in Srila Prabhupada Leela, pastimes, time and time again, Srila Prabhupada showering so much mercy. And what comes to mind very, very quickly is just prior to the pandemic, I must share this, I had made very good friends with a Jentilal Bhai Patel in South London. And him and his good wife, Hansa Masi, Jenti Kaka, was like in coming up to 90. Unfortunately, subsequently, we performed his funeral on the in March of 2020 due to the pandemic. Masi still is alive, Hansa Masi, and they would, on two, three occasions, all the way from Streatham, they would take the British Rail and they would come here to the manor, generally on a Saturday afternoon, to Radlett, and then they would walk into the village. And they did that. And Jenti Kaka, Jenti Bhai, he had asked Srila Prabhupada that all these young people have surrendered onto you. I'm in my mid-40s. I can't do that. And Srila Prabhupada gives an amazing response to him. The conversation was in Hindi. This is what Kaka had told me. And he'd said that all these young people, they're my disciples, but they've always been with me. So, I mean, you know, how could... That was quite a unique response. But your time will come, Srila Prabhupada mentioned. And Hansamasi, subsequently, after many, many years, her earnings, she was earning, but they have no children. Of course, I'd like to be their son. She was earning and she was depositing her earnings into the Bank of Baroda. And subsequently, in the Janmashtami of 2018, they were frantically looking for me because they realized that they should surrender their savings. And subsequently, Mataji, Masi and Kaka made the biggest donation individually that we have received, and this was for the Haveli. Personal savings of £400,000 sterling, the biggest we've received individually. Yes, we've received others, but they're through companies and organizations. Srila Prabhupada's incredible mercy upon them, and they surrendered. So, Prabhus, I do apologize. I'm going on and on. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any questions at all, please don't ask them because your breakfast is getting cold. Jai Ratiyatra Ki Jai. Jagannath Ki Jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you so very, very much. Haribol.